Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says to Timothy and to all of us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." Let me encourage you to pray on a regular basis, a daily basis, for our governmental leaders, for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio and all those, Pam Bondi and Pete Hegseth and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., all those people that have key positions, Elon Musk, as he's been used by President Trump to uncover all the waste and graft and fraud and corruption as he's working on that monumental project. Pray for those people. We're commanded in Scripture to pray for our leaders and to beseech the Lord on their behalf, because if we have strong leaders who are doing the right things, it makes a difference for us so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Well, everybody's talking about the speech last night Donald Trump gave to the joint session of Congress and a joint gathering there on Capitol Hill, and it was exciting, and it was humorous in spots, and it was very revealing because you have the Democrats there. One Democrat representative from Texas, Al Green, was so disruptive he had to be ushered out, and that wasn't a good look at all for the Democrats. I didn't think anything last night was a good look for the Democrats. It's just sad what has become of that. The only thing they clapped for was Ukraine, giving billions of dollars to Ukraine with no end in sight. It was just a bottomless pit of money and death, and Trump wants to bring an end to that that conflict between Russia and Ukraine. So hopefully that will happen. Well, to discuss what happened last night and what everybody is talking about with Donald Trump, I've asked my good friend Dr. Scott Coulter, president and founder of the Danbury Institute, an institute that unites like-minded women, men and women and organizations, and harnesses their collective strength to effect positive progress in preserving life and liberty in the United States. So, Scott, welcome again to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. Great to be with you today, and excited to discuss this. So much happening here.
Well, it was a long speech, Scott. It was, I think, as I looked at the start to finish this morning, 99 minutes. And, man, that would be a long sermon, would it not?
It would be, absolutely. And, you know, Trump is well known for long speeches. He's not a person known by brevity. But it didn't feel to me like a long speech. There was so much content to move through and so many interruptions from both sides for applause and also for interruption's sake, that it felt like it moved quickly, even more than some of his others. And I think that's due to the amount of what he has accomplished so far and what he's discussing and presenting there to this joint session.
Well, I thought the beginning was very telling and really set the tone for what he wanted to get across in his speech. I want to just play the beginning part of the speech and then let's talk about it.
CBS poll taken last night.
Oops, that's not the right one. Oh, here it is.
6 weeks ago, I stood beneath the dome of this Capitol and proclaimed the dawn of the golden age of America. From that moment on, it has been nothing but swift and unrelenting action to usher in the greatest and most successful era in the history of our country. We have accomplished more in 43 days than most administrations accomplished in 4 years or 8 years, and we are just getting started.
All right, Scott, I think it's hard for anybody to argue against the fact that Trump is moving at the speed of light, so to speak, in getting things done and righting the ship from his perspective. And he has done more. I mean, he's done way more than Joe Biden did in 4 years. He's done more than I think he did more than Joe Biden in 4 days. What's your take on that?
Well, this is absolutely historic for our country. The Trump administration has accomplished more in this initial opening to his presidency than at any other time in the history of our country. This will stand forever alone in the history of presidencies and administrations and accomplishments that we're witnessing right now. And Pastor Jeff, you and I talked on your show many times leading up to the election, encouraging your listeners to consider policies, to consider the commitments that President Trump and the candidate at the time was making, and to look at that in light of concerns about him, perhaps his personality, and even some well-founded concerns in some ways there, but to stay focused on his agenda, his policies, and what he committed to accomplish for our country, and specifically for people of faith. We're seeing that now being rolled out in real time in an exponential fashion. He has joked that he has fulfilled more promises than he has made, and of course that's a very Trumpian line there, but that's really true. He has come through in ways even beyond what he committed to do, and it was really refreshing last night to hear him detail those and outline that item by item that he's accomplished really here at warp speed in these initial days.
Well, Scott, what do you think about the fact that the American people get to see with their own eyes, hear with their own ears, the other side? And Al Green, the representative from Texas, was so disruptive that he had to be removed by Speaker of the House. And, you know, they have these signs up and they're not clapping for anything. They couldn't even find it in their heart to stand and clap for the 13-year-old boy fighting brain cancer that Trump, you know, highlighted and had him as an honorary Secret Service agent or something like that. What does that say to the American people?
Well, the American people watched two different speeches last night. They watched the speech that President Trump made about his accomplishments and about the future direction of America, but they also watched perhaps even the louder speech that the Democratic Party made almost in total unison. And to watch the representatives, the democratically elected representatives that are in those positions remain seated for recognition of accomplishments that benefit all Americans, specifically those in their districts, was really a sight to behold. Talking about things like fighting crime and restoring order in their cities and keeping Americans safe and lowering taxes and putting money back into building our economy and improving the lives of everyday citizens. To see an entire party stay seated for that, to scowl, to smirk, to laugh, these are bipartisan things that historically every candidate, every president has been trying to accomplish to better the lives of their constituents. And to see this group now that really has become a radical progressive arm of our government sit there with their arms folded or disrupt or jeer at those comments, that told the American people more than they needed to hear. The approval ratings of President Trump, especially in younger generations, are in the 60s right now. He is widely popular among general Americans. The Doge cuts, we talked about those a little bit, are widely popular among general Americans. Even this week, the bill that was being considered in the Senate that was to protect women in sports and to protect women in locker rooms, that was almost 80% affirmed by general Americans, and yet we couldn't get more than 51 senators to vote for that. The American people are behind this agenda, and the Democratic Party needs to wake up, figure out what's going on. It was clear last night watching them sitting down and smirking and scowling that they still do not understand why they lost and why they're losing by increasing margins as they go forward.
Well, it was insane. And there was a CBS poll. They talked about it, and people were overwhelmingly positive concerning the speech that Trump gave, while the Democrats obviously hated it. This was the information on the poll.
CBS poll taken last night after the president's address, 76% approved of Trump's speech. Most viewers tuning in said it made them feel hopeful, proud, these are quotes, presidential, inspiring, and unifying. A big majority also called it entertaining. A CNN poll taken right after this address as well found nearly the same results. Nearly 7 in 10 viewers, 69%, had a positive reaction to the president's address last night. And the big takeaway, besides how comfortable and confident President Trump looked, was the Democrat reaction during the address on the other side of the aisle and by the media, like on MSNBC afterwards. I mean, we saw Democrats in that chamber holding up what looked like bingo card signs, interrupting, heckling, even walking out. Who is advising this party? Are they taking their own cues from Rachel Maddow and Nicole Wallace over at MSNBC? Because it's not a good idea. If this is the plan, it's a hot mess in a dumpster fire, and it shows why the Democratic Party right now is polling lower than it ever has in its history. No message, no solutions, just complaining, whining, and even, as you mentioned, criticizing Trump for honoring a 13-year-old cancer victim. It shows once again that rock bottom does have a basement.
I like that last line, Scott. Rock bottom does have a basement. I mean, it's just an indefensible position. Their position regarding transgenderism and wanting biological males to be in female sports and the Senate at 45 Democrat senators voted no on even allowing that to come forward to be voted on. Who do you think is advising them to do this? Because that is way out of touch with America.
Boy, we don't know, but it is the same talking points that have led them to loss after loss recently. And the American people are not here for that. The American people are common sense, and Trump is proposing common sense solutions and a common sense agenda. He's carrying the country forward, and they don't seem to know how to react and to pivot into effectiveness right now, which is really unfortunate. These are American servants, and they should be able to read the room and to move forward with an agenda that more closely aligns with what their constituents want. But they're doubling down in these ways onto their radical progressive agenda that the country as a whole is rejecting. Last night's speech was a rejection of the past and a looking forward into what is ahead. We saw that. I've heard from people already this morning that were in the room, and they said the energy from the Republican side of the room was palpable. The happiness, the joy, the excitement, the love for America that is back, and that was contrasted against the sullenness and the whininess and the really childish behavior from the progressive side of the aisle. Al Green, what an embarrassment to Texas, to the United States, to all of us, the lack of decorum that he expressed in the way he addressed the entire room from the floor, interrupting there, but the President of the United States, the Speaker of the House, the Vice President, all of his colleagues across the aisle. What a shame that that's what we've come to in American politics. He was rightly escorted out. He should have been. I was grateful to see Mike Johnson handle that, the Speaker of the House there, swiftly, mm-hmm. and with strong action instructing the Sergeant at Arms to remove him. And that set the tone early on that Trump had a message of hope and encouragement and moving America forward. You know, nothing is accidental in politics, and he was wearing a purple tie that's almost always symbolic of trying to work together, red and blue mixed together there, trying to move our country forward. Speaker Johnson wore a red and blue striped tie as well. That's a bipartisan symbol there that we're seeing from this party, even visually. But Trump was very correct. He looked at those members sitting down with their arms folded, scowling at him. And he said to the room last night, there's nothing I could say. There's right. no accomplishment I could do that would make you clap, that would make you smile. And so we just have to ignore you and move forward. We've got to keep on point here. And I think that's a lesson for all of us. We've got to keep our eye on the prize. We've got to focus on our agenda and keep moving forward.
Yeah, I saw William Wolf posted on Twitter or on X. He said, hey, pastors, it was something to the effect of, what exactly Trump said. There's nothing I can say or do that would cause you to smile, to clap, to support. So I'm not gonna keep catering to you, trying to cater, because it's a futile endeavor. It's a fool's errand. So I'm just gonna keep moving forward. I think that that is a message to pastors. We try so hard to reach the left or reach those that don't know Christ, that we can start jettisoning truth, and we dare not do that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my good friend Dr. Scott Coulter about the speech last night from President Donald Trump. We'll be right back.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true, people are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7.05 p.m. Central, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
When I found out I was pregnant, I was devastated. I had no idea what to do.
When a young mom faces an unplanned pregnancy, she's confused and scared. Society tells her that her baby is not a life and offers termination as the best solution. Preborn Network clinics shine a light into the darkness and offer hope, love, and lifelong impact.
As soon as I get there, I felt welcome. They gave me the first look at my baby by providing a free ultrasound.
Once a mother meets her precious baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's 80% likely to choose life. Preborn has rescued over 300,000 babies. To learn more about their life-saving work, call pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking to Dr. Scott Coulter, president and founder of the Danbury Institute, and we're talking about the speech last night that Donald Trump gave to the joint session of Congress. And it was a lengthy speech, and it was a speech filled with lots and lots of good things, lots of things that everybody in the country could stand up and cheer and say, that is right. Now, Scott, I was referring right at the break about a tweet I saw from William Wolfe, and this is what he said. Donald Trump is admitting what so many pastors won't. There's nothing you can do to make the left happy, so stop pandering to them. You know, I think about this idea of a third way that we heard. I think, was it Tim Keller that came up with that? This, you know, we can be intellectual and we can be respected by people who disagree with us, and we don't have to be, you know, just kind of soften the edges of Christianity. I just look at that as compromise. We just speak the truth in love and we let the chips fall where they may. What do you make of that?
Well, certainly in Christian circles and theological circles, compromise is not a good thing, but that's often, though, the art of accomplishing something in government and in politics.
Right.
And this speech last night was really a bipartisan speech This was not a Trumpian speech attacking his opposition. This was about things that everyone should be able to rally around. These are the points that even the Democratic Party should be able to support. Things like you pointed out, a child with brain cancer being honored with a Secret Service appointment and giving the hug to the director of the Secret Service. What a warm moment there to get to see that. Talking about protecting our families and reducing crime in our cities. Talking about building our economy back and lowering the cost of things. Those are things everyone in the room should have been on their feet applauding and working toward to advance the American agenda and to take care of American citizens. And yet the Democratic Party refused to do so. And so William is absolutely correct. This is a group that is not willing to work with anyone they disagree with, and they're not willing to compromise. They're not willing to find common ground. The only thing they would applaud is more money, endless money to Ukraine.
Right.
And if that's what it takes to work together, then there's not an option to work together. You have to put your constituents first. You have to put American citizens first and keep moving in this case. And I think that's a wise application for all of us. In the religious space, in the political space, just in the human space right now, we've got to focus on what is best for our country, best for our neighbors, and keep moving forward.
Now, Scott, this is what Donald Trump said concerning the transgender insanity and the mutilation of young kids. He spoke about the mother who had the child that was secretly transitioned at the child's school and without the parents' knowledge.
Yeah.
This is what I feel like we have too many pastors that won't stand up and speak up. That is a moral issue. Well, this is what Trump had to say, and hats off to his courage.
My administration is also working to protect our children from toxic ideologies in our schools. A few years ago, January, Little John and her husband discovered that their daughter's school had secretly socially transitioned their 13-year-old little girl. Teachers and administrators conspired to deceive January and her husband while encouraging her daughter to use a new name and pronouns. They, them pronoun, actually, all without telling January, who is here tonight and is now a courageous advocate against this form of child abuse. January, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
No Democrat clap for that.
Thank you. Stories like this are why, shortly after taking office, I signed an executive order banning public schools from indoctrinating our children with transgender ideology. I also signed an order to cut off all taxpayer funding to any institution that engages in the sexual mutilation of our youth.
That should be applauded by everybody.
Now I want Congress to pass a bill permanently banning and criminalizing sex changes on children and forever ending the lie that any child is trapped in the wrong body. This is a big lie. And our message to every child in America is that you are perfect exactly the way God made you.
All right, Scott. So that is truth. He's speaking truth, just dropping truth bombs there. And that's not truth spoken in hate. That's truth spoken in love and caring, and especially for caring for these families and caring for these kids who are being brainwashed into believing a lie. Why do you think it is that so many pastors, just as William Wolfe said, so many pastors seem to be unwilling to say what he just said on national television?
Well, what he said is not only truth, but it's common sense, and it has been widely accepted truth for all of human history up until about 15 minutes ago. The position that you are the gender that you are is not controversial. That has been always the position of humanity, and all of that was encapsulated kind of in his final sentence there. He said, we are ending the lie that your child might be born in the wrong body or the wrong gender, and our message is that you are perfect just the way that God made you. What a biblical message that is. What an ethical message that is, and a refreshing return to hope. It is an affront on our pastors and our churches across this country that it took Donald Trump in politics to say that message, and that pastors in pulpits have refused and have cowered to do so. We're in this position as a country, and this is one of the things the Danbury Institute is trying to combat and trying to push back against. We are in the position that we're in as a country and that we have been in for the last 4 years and even before that, because pastors and churches are not willing to step up and not willing to say these hard truths. I think there's implications for that that go back to the church growth movement, to go back to trying to say things that are palatable, to build larger churches, this idea of compromise that you presented, of just getting along, getting together around the lowest common denominator. Also, our seminaries have been training pastors for decades now to be winsome and to be careful in what they say, and often that means abdicating the truth in a softness that ends up not saying what needs to be said. We're reaping the implications and the fallout from that. We have been for a long time now, and it's shameful that it took someone like Donald Trump with questionable spiritual credentials, not a pastor and, right. and a secular businessman and a politician to get out there and say this. Pastors are now rallying beyond it, but we've got a lot of ground to make up in our churches.
Yeah, we really do. And, you know, as I've said a lot on the radio, you know, Trump's got strengths and he's got weaknesses. He's just like everybody else. But his courage and his willingness to say things that need to be said, every pastor ought to applaud that and say, well, hats off to you there. And his ability to take a licking and keep on ticking and keep going. And not let anything knock him out of what he feels like God has called him to do. I mean, he really said that God spared my life for a reason, and he really fleshes that out. And so I applaud him for that. I obviously don't applaud him for everything that he says or does. And one of the things, Scott, that people have pointed out, you know, he made the comment, and Trump is pretty funny, but he made the comment about Pocahontas, that the only thing that she clapped for was the giving endless billions to Ukraine with a war that can't be won and has no end game. How do you feel about when he does things like that, when he refers to Senator Warren as Pocahontas? It's hard for me not to laugh at that because she brought it on herself. But some have said, well, he shouldn't do that. That's not presidential. What would you say to that?
Well, that's a great indictment there. Yeah, she brought that on herself. I think she announced that she was a full Native American or a large percentage Native American. They looked into it. She was less than 1/1000th of a percent Native American. And so when you do that to yourself, I think you invite the ire from the other side. It's hard to resist that in politics. But Trump is a populist president. He's not an elite president. He's not an ivory tower president. He is messaging in a way that connects with the average American people. And so right versus wrong, whether he should or shouldn't have, really probably is lost in that moment. It has the effect that it had on you and it had on me. It makes you chuckle. It makes you laugh, and it brings a level of humanity and lightness to the room. And it, in one term there, points out the ludicrousy of where the left has gone. And so, yeah, perhaps maybe we'd like to see more decorum sometimes and perhaps a little bit more restraint. But he's in one phrase there highlighting the asinine approach to this left side and to what they're saying and what they're perpetuating. And did you notice that as he said that to her face, she looked him in the eye and kept applauding?
Yes.
Here he is mocking and ridiculing her, saying the only thing you're applauding for is giving billions of dollars to Ukraine, a country that is fighting an endless war and refusing to stop. And she looked him in the eye and kept clapping, doubling down to say that's exactly the only thing I want to do out of this agenda, out of this speech. And what an affront that was to America as a whole, to every American in this country. That was an affront to them. That's their money she's voting and clapping to send away.
Yeah, it was just crazy. And that's the only thing out of his whole 99-minute speech, that's the only thing you can clap for. It has nothing to do with America, per se. And somebody, I forget who posted this on X, Scott, but they said, you know, isn't it telling that, you know, the people on the left, they stand for Ukraine, they stand for Palestine, they stand for this group, that group, the other group. They never stand for America. They never post the American flag. They cheer right. when people burn the American flag. And, you know, that should cause the red flags to go up in the mind of every American. Like, what? I don't want to partner with these people that seem to want to destroy this sweet land of liberty. And so it is insane. Well, DJ Daniel was the name of that young boy that's fighting brain cancer. And I found a clip of his where he expresses his Christian faith. And I thought it was just, man, it is great for people to hear it. So I wanted to play this.
But you want to know the craziest part? Because my mom raised me and my brothers all together. And out of nowhere, I locked up. And then my dad was calling my name. And I started going to the slow thing. And he said, stop playing with me. And I started to act slow. And then as soon as he said that, we were speeding all the way, running lights, going to the hospital. And then next thing you know, I was seizing on the table. They said, nah, we're going to have to go in his brain tonight. Ever since then, I had 13 brain surgeries. And that's how many times my personality has changed. And that's something that you don't hear from a terminally ill child. They had 5 months to live. I'm going to keep on going until my gas tanks run out. And that's when God calls you home. You never know when God's going to call you home. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my dad. I know he's pretty proud of me, and I'm pretty proud of him, too. And I'd like to thank President Trump, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today.
Scott, I love that line that DJ Daniel, that 13-year-old boy that was honored last night, I'm going to be here until my gas tank runs out, and we don't know how much time we have left. And so it's a message to all of us to live life to the full. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may not come. All you have is today to live it to the full. And very shocking that the left couldn't stand and clap for DJ Daniel.
Man, I'm hearing that clip, and I hadn't heard that yet. That's a great clip. I'm sitting here in downtown Dallas and emotional hearing that, thinking about a young boy and his heart for life and for living life to the fullest, and his joy and excitement even with a condition like he's facing. That's remarkable and unbelievable. You know, President Trump loves people, and this is one more example of him loving people, of him caring for people. He gets a bad rap a lot of times, but he genuinely loves people. We talk about the comments he makes. Some of those are lighthearted comments, I think, even in jest, and showing his love and appreciation for people. I'm reminded of the time he was getting off in his last administration, getting off of Air Force One, and they told him the news that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had passed away right. while he was in flight. And he came off, and in a moment that every political side would be already moving for their agenda, he paused and he stepped back and he said, man, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, we disagreed on everything, but she really loved America. And he had just a somber moment in that moment. He loves people. He loves this young boy. And for a party to not be willing to embrace that and stand with him on that is truly despicable.
Scott, let me ask you this question. You know, many people who love America, we loved Ronald Reagan. And the Reagan movie that was with Dennis Quaid was really, really well done, I thought. And it just brought you back to this was such a quality guy. And Ronald Reagan wasn't a perfect guy, but he was very, very courageous. And how do you think Ronald Reagan would have handled the meeting with Zelensky?
That's a great moment there. You know, I think Trump channels a lot of Reaganisms and Reagan's approach to things, even his own presidency. He's chosen to put Ronald Reagan's rug back in his Oval Office. He's recognized him in the Oval Office as one of his mentor presidents that he looks to and learned a lot from. The idea, this concept of peace through strength that came from Reagan, this idea actually of make America great again and America first, that's a Reagan-esque idea. And so a lot of what Trump is known for are Reagan's ideas. Reagan is a president who led with this idea of peace through strength and being a peacemaker. Peace is our goal. As Christians, peace has to be our goal. We have to stand for peace. We have to stand for saving human life. We are pro-life, whether that's in the womb or for the lives of soldiers in Ukraine and Russia. And if we can find a path here to end this war, that needs to be the fore agenda for all of us. And there's all kinds of under motives that would keep a war going for the industrial establishment for cost of those things. And so I think Reagan would agree with that. We've got to get towards peace. And if Zelensky's not willing to stand for peace, then we've got to work around him and move those two countries together right now.
Yeah, very good. Well, Scott, thanks so much for being my guest. It's always a pleasure, my friend. I love your insights on things, and may the Lord bless you and your beautiful wife and your two kids. And we will talk again soon.
My honor. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you, brother. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking about the speech last night from Donald J. Trump, President Trump, and lots of revealing things in that speech. When we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give me a call and let's talk.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Here in the Christmas season of 1976, I sat down one night to watch television.
One man saw the battle coming.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
And he chose to stand and fight.
If you will not respect our beliefs, then you will respect our money. Yeah. And we'll spend it with somebody else.
Reverend Wildman.
The Reverend Donald Wildman.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire.
Things were changing, and many people just sort of acclimated to it, and Don Wildman didn't.
They thought, I think, that they could just crush him.
The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
AFA Stream is your source for inspirational, informational, educational, and entertainment video content from American Family Association. You'll find documentaries like Culture Warrior, Don Wildman, and The Battle for Decency.
Television in those days would be considered extremely mild as to what's available today.
You can access educational curriculum like Body of Evidence.
And there the Lord says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them.
You'll find titles like Life is a Civil Right from the AFA Cultural Institute.
If you're Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece and you were tricked, my goodness, how many more were tricked?
Much of the content is free to everyone. Great commission partners can see even more. And content is being added, so your options are increasing. Visit stream.afa.net and see what you like. AFA Stream, streaming video from American Family Association.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, we've been talking about President Trump's speech last night, but you can ask me about anything that's on your heart, and we would love to welcome that question or comment. I do have to say that I missed the boat yesterday. A caller had talked about why do we have a discrepancy between Passover weekend and Easter weekend. And for some reason, what he was saying to me, I just wasn't connecting. And so I had another listener emailed me and said this is what he was asking about. So, yeah, there is a difference. And it should, you would think that Passover weekend, I mean, Jesus was crucified on Passover. And so just when they slit the throats of the Passover lambs at 3 p.m. on Friday, Jesus breathed his last and said, it is finished, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And that wasn't coincidental. And so why do we not have Good Friday every time on that same Friday that the Jews celebrate Passover? And so I did a little research. It's confusing, but it says this: Easter is observed on the first Sunday after the first full moon of spring, meaning it can fall anywhere from March 22nd to April 25th. Now it's April 20th this year. Easter's date is anything but arbitrary. Knowing the resurrection occurred on a Sunday during Passover, officials during the first centuries of the church debated Easter's timing, since Passover dates change each year. Was a fixed date more important, or the fact that it should be celebrated on a Sunday? Well, obviously it needs to be celebrated on a Sunday, but it has to do with the Hebrew calendar and why that is different. Passover dates are tied to the lunar calendar, just as the dates, you know, for the Easter is tied to the lunar calendar. The day observance commemorates the liberation of Jews from slavery in Egypt, obviously for Passover. It's told in the book of Exodus. Passover's dates are pegged to the Hebrew calendar based on the lunar calendar. It starts in the middle of the month of Nisan, when the moon is full, typically falling in March or April of the Gregorian modern calendar. As a result, Passover typically begins very close to Easter. So the difference is the calendars, whether you're in the Hebrew calendar or the Gregorian calendar. And so the caller rightly pointed out, hey, those should be together, and I would agree with that. So just wanted to address that. I like what my seminary president when I was at Southeastern Seminary, Dr. Paige Patterson, said. I'm not always right, but I'm never in doubt. And so I'm definitely not always right, and sometimes I am in doubt, and I don't have any qualms of saying, I don't know. I have to look that one up. So I appreciate the caller calling in yesterday to point that out and to say, hey, there shouldn't be that discrepancy. So we're going to the phone lines, and we have Gary on the line from Arkansas. Gary, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Brother Jeff. Listen, I just want to tell everybody that the AFA and Brother Tim and all you guys, y'all do such great work. It's Jesus that's driving us all, and I've been a believer all of my life. I just turned 60 years old, and I just want to say that we all have a part to play, and let's all get out there. It says in Mark chapter 13, verse 10, it says, "And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations." And then it goes on, it says, "But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit." And, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, it's the greatest feeling in the whole world. Brother Jeff, thank you so much for what you do. And just y'all guys, keep on. Brother, let's all get behind our president and pray for him. And thank you, Brother Jeff. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate that. And you're exactly right. We need to pray for President Trump. He is, he can look like this guy that if you cut him, he doesn't bleed, but he does. And he's a human being. And the thing said about him, he's able to blow those off pretty well. But can you imagine if you were getting blistered like he does on social media and in legacy media and all the people that hate his guts? And now they hate Elon Musk, too. And those guys can say, oh, this doesn't bother me. It bothers everybody. I remember talking to a dear lady that I love. I'll not mention her name, but she's very outspoken and very conservative. And I asked her, I said, does that bother you when those things come, all those arrows come your way? And she said, well, yeah, it does, because you're human. And so anyway, hats off to our president for standing up for what he believes is right. He doesn't do everything right, but he wants to move the country in the right direction. And 76% based on the poll, as they listened to his speech last night, said, this is pro-America. This is what I'm for. And so we need to get behind that, because a strong America is good for the world, and it's good as we preach the gospel freely and without any kind of concern for being shut down. So I appreciate that, Gary. Thanks for listening to American Family Radio. We have Greg on the line from Tennessee. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say, I think one of the biggest blocks that got Donald Trump elected was the mothers of this country. COVID and transgenderism and all the sexual nonsense and all the things they're teaching in our schools woke up mothers. And I think the closest thing to the love of God, and God is the source of love, and is a mother's love. And I think the mothers woke up in this country and said, you're not going to have my children. But the thing that worries me is there's quite a few Democrat women over on that right-hand side not standing up and clapping. And yet some of them have to be mothers, don't they? I mean, there's such a strong delusion over them. If they're really mothers and they truly have a mother's love, what is the deception that's holding them back from seeing the truth of what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, that great question. I don't understand. You know, Trump mentioned even last night, he said these people that won't clap no matter what I say, even some of them are for what I'm saying, but they won't show it because they're in solidarity with with their puppet master. And it is a puppet master, because we saw, as it was exposed on X, 22 senators stood before their phones or their iPads or whatever they did. It wasn't a real professional video, but it was just them talking. And supposedly they're just sharing their hearts. It's the exact same script. And they exposed that. Elon Musk exposed it along with some others. They exposed it and said, these guys are all reading from the same script, 22 Democrat senators, and they're acting like they're talking off the cuff, or these are my words that I wrote. Well, baloney. Somebody wrote those. I don't know if it was George Soros or who it was, but they're puppets, and there's a puppet master. And that should cause every American to say, wait a minute, this is not good. And so you're exactly right. So no doubt they would agree. Hey, I don't want to do this. I don't want, if I have a daughter playing sports in high school, I don't want to have her play against a biological male. But I can't say that, because then I would be out in my position. And so, you know, it's kind of like Pilate, you know. When Pilate was warned by the Jewish religious leaders, if you release this man, you make yourself an enemy of Caesar. You're no friend of Caesar if you do this. And Pilate, even though he knew Jesus was not guilty, still sentenced him to death because he was trying to save his position. And I think that's probably what it boils down to for a lot of those women. It's just like, I got to keep my job. I got to, you know, toe the line in the party. And if I don't, then they'll come after me. So I appreciate the comment, Greg. We have Donna on the line from Texas. Donna, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I couldn't help but smile throughout the entire evening as I thought the culture war took a huge wooden stake in the heart of the left last night. One by one, the things that President Trump had addressed within the first days of his taking office, the executive orders. The silver stake will come when we can start seeing that movement. As Antonio Gramsci said, it's a long walk through the institutions. Well, we need to take that walk backward. Mm-hmm. Our homes, our churches, our institutions, and be happy and proud that we are Americans, but that perhaps we are Christian conservative Americans, mm-hmm. and continue to pray, continue to stand and do the things that we need to do within our local communities, as Abraham Hamilton III would say, start local,
right.
and work up and work out. And thank you for all you do. I love listening to this show. I love the entire broadcast for American Family Radio. And just, you know, we just need to stand. We can't be kowtowed like we were in the past when trying to silence our voices.
Right.
We need to make those voices strong.
Amen. Amen. Great word, Donna.
Thank God. Let's thank God for everything.
Yes.
To God be the honor, praise, and glory today.
Yes.
We won. We won. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Donna. Yes, and so as was pointed out by several that I talked to at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, Bill Federer, for one, pointed this out. We played the program last Friday. If you hadn't got a chance to listen to it, I encourage you to listen to it. But, you know, we have been given a reprieve, and we need to take advantage of this. And so what Trump is doing in America politically, well, that is great, because we want to move the country back to sanity and back to law and order and all the things that he's doing. But we have to take advantage of that from a biblical perspective, from a Christian perspective, and we have to speak the truth in love and preach the truth and lift high the name of Jesus and the cross of Christ and his empty tomb, and see people come to Christ. This is setting the stage for a great revival, and if we don't seize it as believers, as Bill Federer said, you know, as fast as we see things move in the right direction, they can move in the wrong direction and things can unravel. This is obviously God responding to prayers, but we know that the enemy, he doesn't quit. He's still out there. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, and he would love to devour you, your family, your marriage, and our country. So we need to be vigilant, and we need to stand up and speak up for the truth. So thank you, Donna. We have William on the line from Louisiana. William, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
I have a very quick comment.
Yes, sir.
When it doesn't make sense, follow the money.
Yes.
That's all I have to say. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, William. Yeah, follow the money. And, you know, I think it's Musk that said we need to do an audit of all the money given to Ukraine. I heard Tucker Carlson say that he had it on good authority. They were selling. We send this military equipment, and they sell it on the black market for 20 cents on the dollar. And then our enemies buy that, and we're stupid enough to continue to send money and resources to Ukraine when it's being funneled into other endeavors. And so we have to wise up, and we have to cut that stuff out, find out where the money's going. So that's a good word. Well, we have one last caller, Mark from Kentucky. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. Good morning. There is Real Truth, and our elected leader, highest in the land, President Trump, declared it boldly, strongly, and clearly. And I'm just so grateful for that. I'm thankful that God allowed the other side to have their chance to be in that position. And it helped us, for those that had eyes to see, ears to hear, and the Spirit of the living God living inside them, to see what's really been going on. And I my only question is, because I believe that I observe that President Trump simply, I mean, look, he's just quoting Genesis, mm-hmm. male and female. He's, you know, all this stuff. I'm wondering, is the church, only half of which got even out to vote, going to stand behind him and get off their duff and do what we need to do?
Yeah, it's a good word, Mark. I appreciate you calling in. We're out of time, but I agree with you, and we need to stand up and speak up and trust the Lord. We serve an audience of one. Our job is to please God, and especially as God called pastors and preachers, we need to please the Lord and be a faithful herald of the gospel message, to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Hey, the time's going to come when people don't want to hear. And that's the time we need to stand up boldly and tell people the truth, because Jesus is coming soon. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out, shine, and share for Jesus. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.